Chapter 37. And so Sean went back to war. The farewell was an ordeal. Ada was so brave about it that Sean wanted to shake her and shout, "Cry, damn you, get it over with." Dirk threw one of his more spectacular fits. He clung to Sean and yelled until he almost suffocated himself. By the time the train pulled out, Sean was in a towering rage that lasted until they reached Pietermaritzburg 4 hours later. He took his anger into the saloon on the station and sedated it with half a dozen brandies. Then, with Imbijani carrying his luggage, he worked his way through the crowd on the platform, searching for an empty compartment on the northbound express. As all traffic was on military permit only, his fellow travellers were exclusively clad in khaki. A vast, drab throng, speckled with gay spots of colour, women who were sending men to war and not very happy about it. The sound of weeping blended with the roar of loud voices, men's laughter, and the occasional squeal of a child. Suddenly, above it all, Sean heard his name called. He peered about and saw an arm waving frantically above the heads of the crowd. "Sean! Hey, Sean!" Saul's head bobbed into view, and then disappeared as he hopped up and down. Sean fought his way through to him, and they shook hands delightedly. "What the hell are you doing here?" Saul demanded. "Heading back to duty. And you?" "A week's leave just ended. Came down to see the baby. My God, what luck I spotted you." "Is Ruth here?" Sean could not contain the question. "She's waiting in the carriage outside." "Oh, I'd like to have a look at this infant." "Of course. Let's find a couple of seats first and dump our luggage. Then we've got 20 minutes before the train leaves." Sean saw her as they came out onto the front steps of the station. She sat in an open carriage, while a coloured coachboy held a parasol over her. She was dressed in dove grey with big leg-o'-mutton sleeves slashed with pink and a huge hat piled with pink roses. Her face was in profile as she leaned forward over the bundle of white lace on her lap. Sean felt the leap in his chest as he looked at the calm lines of her face. He stopped and whispered, "My God, she's lovely." And beside him, Saul laughed with pleasure. "Wait until you meet my daughter." Ruth did not see them approach the carriage from the station entrance. She was too intent on her child. "Ruth, I've a surprise for you," bubbled Saul. She looked up, and Sean was watching her. She went rigid with shock, staring at him, while all colour drained away from her face. "Hello, Ruth." She did not reply immediately. Sean saw her mask her face with a pale impassivity. "Hello, Sean. You startled me." Saul had missed the interplay of their emotions. He was climbing up into the carriage beside her. "Come and have a look." Now he was opening the lace shawl, leaning over the infant, his face alight with pride. Silently, Sean climbed up into the carriage and sat opposite them. "Let Sean hold her, Ruth," Saul laughed. "Let him get a good look at the loveliest girl in the world." And he did not notice the way in which Ruth froze again and hugged the child to her protectively. "Take her, Sean. I promise she'll not wet you too badly, though she might sick up a little," Saul went on happily. Sean held out his hands for the infant, watching Ruth's face. It was defiant, but afraid. "Please," he said. The colour of her eyes seemed to change a darker, bluer grey. The hard lines around her mouth dissolved, and her lips quivered pink and moist. She leaned forward and placed her daughter in his arms.